You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jesus Christ is God. This is the only hope for the world.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God of love and God of grace, by your permission the sun rises. By your power all living things breathe. Use this radio broadcast, O Lord, to raise high the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let all men see that Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Turn us from our sins unto sincere repentance, and restore unto your children the joy of their salvation. O Lord, we pray this petition in the name of Jesus, the one to whom you have said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Amen. The beautiful pictures of Jesus displayed in Christian homes and religious bookstores frequently portray the Savior as a mild-mannered and relaxed personality. His demeanor is calm, and his very presence seems to provide a comfortable assurance to all those around him. In our generation, we prefer to visualize Jesus with a tranquilizing personality, an individual surrounded by pious adults and innocent, satisfied children. But the Bible also reveals another side of the Messiah. During his controversial ministry, countless people were deeply disturbed and greatly angered by the Lord's teaching. The religious leaders tore their clothes when the Savior spoke, and even the demons were traumatized and devastated. They screamed and cried out as they were confronted by the invading and powerful presence of the Son of God. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, we read that on the Sabbath, Jesus went directly to one of the local synagogues to teach. The curious local people were all gathered together. But as they listened, they were suddenly struck and completely dumbfounded, for Jesus did not teach like the local religious teachers. These local religious leaders were constantly quoting other religious authorities. They were trying to buttress and to give authority to their legalistic and self-serving, man-centered religion. But Jesus did not need to rely on one single human authority for power. For Jesus Christ is God, and when He speaks, there is no higher authority. Our text for today, found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, states, "There was in the synagogue on that Sabbath a man with an unclean spirit. This man was tragically possessed by demons. Demonic powers had damaged and distorted the man's personality. He was no longer in control of himself. But instead, the demons control the man, and they actually spoke through this helpless individual." But then all of a sudden, Jesus appeared in the synagogue. His divine presence was like shooting a bullet into a powder keg. The evil demons within the possessed man recognized the promised Messiah immediately. They realized and understood that Jesus was more than just a prophet or a religious leader. these demonic spirits realized that Jesus was indeed God in the flesh. And just as darkness is driven from a room when you turn on the light switch, so also the demons of darkness were exposed in the presence of Jesus. In verse 24 of our text, we read that the demons cried out and said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Imagine this. Even the devil, against his will, is forced to recognize Jesus. What an indictment this dramatic story is to the 20th century blasphemers and modern scoffers of the Christian faith. These unbelievers do not accept Jesus as actually being God, even though the devil does. Today, there are those who falsely claim that Jesus was an imposter or a faker. Others try to be more cleverly diplomatic. But they are no less deceptive. They openly admit that Jesus Christ was a Son of God, in the same way that all believers can be spoken of as sons of God. But such cleverly devised pseudo-complimentary remarks do not disguise the fact that these individuals are in fact rejecting the Savior by denying His deity. In another instance, recorded in the Gospel of Mark, we read, "And whenever the unclean spirits beheld Jesus, they would fall down before Him and cry out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.'" Let us never waste our time or efforts trying to convince hardened skeptics, those who, by denying that Jesus is God, actually reject Him as their Savior. But instead, let us with sincere and repentant hearts humble ourselves before the divine personality who was, according to the divinely inspired Holy Scriptures, and I quote, "revealed in the flesh, vindicated in the Spirit, beheld by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory." This Jesus, according to the Holy Scriptures, was present at the creation of the world, and now at this moment sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is also, and I quote, "able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since Jesus always lives to make intercession for them." Without question and without hesitation, the Lord Jesus Christ pleads for mercy for His followers. Did you know that the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus daily intercedes before the Heavenly Father's throne on behalf of all sinners who sincerely repent and trust completely in the sin-cleansing power of His blood? And this is why you and I can rejoice today in the biblical promise of Hebrews chapter 4, that you and I have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. This high priest, this Jesus, has been tempted in all things as we are. However, because Jesus was God, He did not fall into sin. And in order to please the Heavenly Father for us, Jesus lived a perfect life in our place. Then the Bible continues by saying, "Let us therefore draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need." The recent reports of cold and calloused indifference exhibited in our society today are certainly shocking. Newspapers recently reported that a Houston, Texas motorist had come upon the body of a fatally injured woman. But instead of taking time to attend to the situation, the news report describes how the man got out of his car, pulled the body of the woman to the side of the road, and then casually continued on his way. The actions of Jesus are exactly opposite of those demonstrated by this heartless motorist. Jesus, as revealed in the Bible, is someone who really cares. When the Savior sees people in trouble or need, He has instant love and total compassion. Jesus does not browbeat those in need before He helps them. And Jesus does not qualify His love. His presence is with the lonely. He is strengthening the weak. He encourages the despairing, and He consoles the dying. Yes, Jesus came into this world just as the Holy Scriptures proclaim, and I quote, "not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." After spending 3.5 years on a kidney dialysis machine, a 14-year-old boy died in a Winston-Salem, North Carolina hospital. He had undergone 3 kidney transplants. Each time, however, his body rejected the new kidney. Then, after believing that God had given him a sign to come home to his heavenly Father, this trusting youth decided to accept death rather than to continue the seeming futile medical struggle. The Lord Jesus Christ also voluntarily died. Jesus said, "No one has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative." However, let us make no mistake, the death of Jesus was totally different from the death of any other religious leader or prophet. The deaths of men, presidents, and kings can never help or save others. But because Jesus was God, his death was a worthy substitute for the deaths deserved by all sinners. Because Jesus rose from the dead, all men now who completely trust in him have hope. Let me read again directly from the Holy Scriptures, and I quote, "We see then that as one act of sin in the Garden of Eden exposed all men to God's judgment and condemnation, so also one act of perfect righteousness in Jesus Christ presents all men freely acquitted in the sight of God." The Bible further explains it by saying, "One man's disobedience placed all men under the threat of condemnation. But through Jesus Christ, one man's obedience has the power to present all men righteous before God." For centuries, the death of Jesus Christ has been regarded by many as a senseless and unnecessary death. Atheistic philosophers and unbelieving historians have scoffed at it. Skeptics have tried to make fun of the cross. But without Christ's suffering and death on the cruel cross, there can be no certain hope of eternal life. No, Jesus did not die in order to terminate his earthly existence. Jesus did not die in order to accommodate his personal wishes. The Savior's death was a payment to satisfy the righteous wrath of a heavenly Father. For Isaiah the prophet stated, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, the Lord will see it and be satisfied." Today, we have cult leaders and false teachers leading millions of people to eternal destruction. Some perform mass wedding ceremonies to attract attention and gain publicity. Others promise supernatural results from meditation or by following so-called godly principles of faith. Still other hucksters promise material success and worldly wealth if you just think positively and join their demonic movement. But these imposters and frauds will soon receive their just reward. The angel of death will knock at their door and carry their souls to the prison of outer darkness to await God's final and terrible judgment. And along with the souls of these false religious teachers and cult leaders will go the helpless and the condemned souls of their deluded followers. But the faithful and the steadfast followers of Jesus Christ will experience a different destiny. For Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." No, don't delay another day. Learn as much as you can about the man called Jesus. Find out who Jesus really is and not who some people would like him to be. Your eternal destiny depends on this crucial information. Don't rely on questionable religious television programs built around a human personality. And don't ever anchor your faith on simplistic teachings promoted in rapidly written but theologically questionable religious paperback books. Yes, let the Bible, and only the Bible, the divinely inspired Holy Scriptures, be your only source of hope and your only guide for this life and life eternal. Let the Word of God be a lamp for your feet and a light for your path. Pray that God, through His written Word and through the power of His Holy Spirit, will reveal to you the true identity of His divine Son. For to deny the deity of Christ is to blatantly and blasphemously deny the Savior Himself. It was Jesus who said, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." But whoever will deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. As you diligently read and study the Bible, and as you feed your heart and mind on God's living Word each day, your faith will certainly be strengthened. Your everyday problems and frustrations may never totally disappear, but you will receive power to cope with any obstacle the devil tries to place in your path. The Bible leaves no room for quibbling. There is no doubt Jesus Christ is indeed God, and for this we rejoice. To deny this basic biblical truth is to reject the Savior and to condemn oneself to everlasting judgment and hell. But to simply believe in Jesus and to recognize Him as actually God and to trust completely in His sin-cleansing power is to be assured forever of a meaningful life in this world and a certain hope of eternity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen.